What's in a Name? Written by Christina Curtin, December 9th, 2019. My next OB appointment for baby number 3 is quickly approaching. And since I am an old cow, I get to have tests run to make sure this wee babe is okay. We're going to find out the gender after this test, along with more important things like chromosomal abnormalities. I'm not dwelling on that topic though, but I'd rather be thinking about the gender because that's lighter to deal with. And there's no sense in worrying about the possibility of this nugget not being 100% healthy. My worry won't change the outcome. So I'm living in my bubble and focusing on the gender. As you know, we are shooting for a boy. These weeks leading up to my next doc appointment have been slow because regardless if we have girl number 3 or the first boy in the generation of our family, I just want to know. I'm about done with the guessing. Plus, if you know me, I'm big on naming things. Love it. But I've spent the last 10 weeks flip-flopping between names. I just want to be able to focus my crazy on one side of the chart, boy names or girl names. The fun of naming. I've always been pretty big on naming things. I've come up with names for each day of the week that signify what my family is going to do that day. Like Money Mondays. It's the day we teach girls about money. Teach Me Tuesdays. We each take turn teaching each other how to do something, etc. It's annoying to them, but it all feeds my complex of loving to create. I named my inner voice Nancy so I could yell at her. I think we should all name our inner voice because if yours is like mine, it never shuts up and it annoys the shit out of me when she's overanalyzing everything and can be downright rude. She has a name only so I can tell her to calm the F down and shut up for a minute. And even though I never wanted kids, I still kept a running log of baby names since I was 11, just in case. Ironically, I've never used any of those names, but that's probably a good thing. 11-year-old me read a lot of books that had some overly unique names, like Juniper. You're welcome, girls. I never picked that one for reals. My criteria for names. As I got older, I came up with a more fleshed out set of criteria for selecting a baby name, besides just reading it in a book or seeing it in a movie. So here are my rules. Rule number 1, I can't know anyone directly or indirectly with a name. I've had to veto a lot of boy names this time around because of the multitude of people and babies we collectively know. I do Facebook searches when I think of a name to confirm that no one in my immediate set of connections has a kid with that same name. After I name my kid, it's fine to come across someone with that name. Okay, that's a giant lie. I get really irritated when I hear other kids named Gianna and Scarlett, and even more pissed when they have another person in their class with the same name. It's somewhat better when the kid is younger, because then I can validate myself that I thought of the name first, and that the other Gianna or Scarlett is just a copier. Petty, I know, but I'm being honest. I also feel a little sparkle of satisfaction when we go places and the girls can't find their names on any of the souvenirs. It's another validation that their names are still somewhat unique. Why this makes me so happy is strange because I remember as a child being so disappointed when I couldn't find my name on anything. But this was all before the age of Etsy and the ability for anyone to customize anything. I can put their name on every single item they own if they really want it. Brief ramble time, which makes my brain veer off for a minute. Blame Nancy. What the fuck is going on with all the people putting their kids' full name on all their shit? I clearly recall that being one of the guidelines of avoiding child abduction when the ominous white van was snatching kids in our area. Don't put your kid's name on their bike or backpacks. This gives kidnappers the ability to use their names and make the kid think they know them. Yet, I can't tell you how many mini-humans I see walking around with their name brazenly embroidered across their backpack. Stop putting your kid's name on their stuff, unless it's on the inside, because I do realize the kids leave their shit everywhere and you need a way to ID it later. Okay, that's my PSA for the day. Back to the topic of names. Rule number 2. I have to like writing the first letter of the name as a capital letter. I know I'll be writing this name for the rest of my life, and there are a handful of letters that just don't look pretty in their capital forms, like F's, I's, H's, and N's. Really any letter that involves all straight lines. I find a straight line boring to write and difficult to create. I like my letters with some curves. G's and S's are really satisfying to write. which is actually how I came across Scarlett's name. She was originally going to be Ireland because Vince is Irish. It was unique, but not a totally odd name, and I'd only heard of one other person named that. It was this little girl at Disney who got picked to volunteer during the Lion King show. She was maybe 6, and I was pregnant with Scar at the time. She said her name into the mic in such a sweet little voice, and immediately I knew that was the name I wanted. Which now leads me to a quick warning on names. After hearing that name, I made the mistake almost all parents do at some point. I told people her name. Of course, on came the onslaught of negative opinions and reactions. This happens anytime you tell people the name before the baby is born, especially if the name is a little unique. Like a weak little duckling, I allowed myself to be deterred by the opinions. What I've learned after 2 kids is to not share your name until the baby is born, unless you know 100% you won't let others change your mind. I still love the name Ireland, and Scarlett wishes that was her name. But I don't really like writing capital I's, too many straight lines. And Scarlett's name suits her 100%. She's fiery, strong-willed, and emotional. Rule number 3, the name can't be easily mispronounced or that difficult to spell. Remember, your 3-year-old will have to learn how to spell their name in school. Give the kid a break. I might slightly break this rule if baby number 3 is a girl because these are my rules and I can break them if I want to, but this name I have tucked away at the top of the girl list is a little long, but there's a good nickname she can use if needed. And that leads us to the 4th criteria. Rule number 4, the option of a nickname. Not that I necessarily need to use a nickname, but it helps to have the ability to shorten names when you need to holler at more than one child at a time. You don't want to run out of breath before you're done saying their names. Gianna was supposed to be Gia. That nickname was actually what helped me pick out her name 12 years ago. Young me loved the name Mia. It was short and sweet, and M's are nice to write. But then Mia exploded into popularity, and I couldn't do it. Gianna gave me Gia, which is close to Mia, but I honestly don't think I've ever even called her Gia. She's G or Gigi. Rule number 5, the first name sounds decent with our last name. Curtin is such a short last name, especially coming from my maiden name of Bespiata. I need to make sure that the name flows well with Curtin and doesn't sound bizarre together. Generally, that's it. That's my primary list of criteria. And if we have a girl, I'm set, I think. I know the first name. It's been my favorite for over 2 years. But what is causing me stress and agony is if it's a boy, which is what we are trying for. But with a boy comes another set of rules. My rules for a boy's name. Okay, it's just one rule. Rule number 6, for boy names only. The name can't sound weak. Meaning, when you say the name, you think, ah, that's a strong manly name. I don't want to offend anyone, but since this is my space to be honest, I can't stand any of the names that end with Lynn, Lee, Don, Son, Len, you know, those for boys. This is my preference, and I wouldn't ever name my boy with something that has that ending. I don't say these names out loud and think strong. Now, I know a lot of boys with names like that, and they are wonderful people. I just wouldn't pick that name for my kid. I want my boy to have a solid name, nothing too weird, nothing he will get made fun of for. I want to set him up for success with his name because chances are this dude is going to be short. It's hard to be a short boy. There's so much that goes into a man's height. For girls, it's different. Short stature is not such a big deal. Sure, you get called cute for the rest of your life, but that's not horrible. Boys, it's different. It just is. People see a tall man and think strength, power, the ability to command attention. Short men, well, they usually have pretty amazing personalities and are hilariously funny to compensate for the height. But the perception of the shorter man is always different. Just look at The Rock and Kevin Hart in Jumanji and you'll get what I mean. My thing is, if I can't gift my little guy with some height, at least I can do is give him a strong name to work with. But nothing too strong, you know, like naming your poodle Spike or something like that. I don't want the name to be ironic. This rule, coupled with my standard set of criteria, has made choosing my top boy name so difficult. I have gone through countless names. There is still a name on the boy list that hasn't been cut yet. It's strong, It's unique, but not odd. I know no one with this name. It starts with a good capital letter and sounds good with our last name. My only hiccup with this name is that there is one semi-famous person with it and one animal. I'm debating on if this bothers me. Now, I just have to find out what I'm having so me and Nancy can stop obsessing over this and move on to more important things, like selecting a breast pump or something, which I will also probably name. Maybe I'll call my breast pump Drac, short for Dracula, since I want it to suck good.